Anywho, on happier news, we're about to set things on fire.
The Sunday Skypers. Burning Beards.
I should do a review of our beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
I believe Flint is in a world of hurt.
Not presently. Could be.
More emotional than that.
Yeah, okay. Since you spoke up, I guess brokering peace with the spiders, is this something you still want to do?
It is, metagaming-wise, the wrong thing to do, which is why, of course, I will keep that one.
Okay. Scouting Score had even learned his secrets. To some respect, you haven't actually heard what Bruna wants, so...
That's what... I'm hoping that's what she has in mind, but one never knows.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is there may not be anything immediate that you want to change until we've played that scene.
Sounds like a winner. Because then I believe I'll strangle Bruna might be an option. Well, it's not like she's going to run away on me.
It's funny you say that.
Oh, dear.
Looking at Fandral's beliefs, dealing with spider infestations, yeah. The second belief is going on by proxy. And yeah, I guess you can fill in the spider war-related belief at any time. Just, you know, pipe up.
I figure something will come up.
Yeah, no doubt. And... Ulfkell, you have a dealing with the spider infestation belief.
Yeah.
Would you like to write a belief about the immediate situation or about the war machine or something? Since you're probably not going to deal with any singing witches this episode or this session.
Yeah. Actually, I just come to realization that I am unable to actually complete my oath.
The oaths are like long-term things anyway, so they're not.
Well, it's the last bit of the oath, and run in accordance to his methods and ways. A couple episodes ago, I pretty much said we're not going to do that.
Oh, that's interesting. It might be a point of like backsliding, where you might have to have a little mold breaker moment and go, but I swore to do this, but it's not good. Oh, what should I do? And then, I mean, this belief would have to be about another dwarf, maybe, or... So any dwarf you would like to survive, or...
Well, Ethelbald's got to survive.
Is there any dwarf you wouldn't mind dying?
Well, I don't want Murtaugh dying either.
Anything about the prince? Like, make sure everyone follows the prince's battle plan? Or it could just be protect the brewers. That's totally viable, too.
Make sure Murtaugh and Ethelbald are kept safe.
Okay, so I guess we'll start with the Flint scene in the, what did we call it, Stonehewer?
Stonehewer's Hall.
All right, so I imagine the echo of your question is still bouncing about in there. Bruna looks up from the book she is reading or flipping through. And, you know, there's a look of surprise, relief, and maybe a little bit of apprehension on her face. Do you know what, Flint? Give me a...
Cross my arms and tap my foot roll?
No.
I'm good at that.
Should be a perception test of some kind.
Oh, jeez. You're going to make me roll dice?
Yes. I'm going to start off by making you roll dice. I mean, I could always tell you what you notice without rolling, if you prefer that.
Oh, we should roll the dice because we know the dice love me.
That's an op 2.
Okay, well, 5d6. That seems reasonably safe.
That's what they all say. That should be 2 successes. It isn't.
No, it's 1 success, 2 twos, and 2 threes. Wow. So much for average. Obviously, I am too distracted and too hot-headed to notice.
I think so, yeah. Things you notice anyway, like she's laid up on this cot, and she's half lying, half sitting to get a better angle to read with like her pack behind the small of her back, and the leg that was broken is like stretched out straight across the cot.
I imagine her crossbow is in easy reach.
Yeah, it's next to her arbalest is right next to the cot. But yeah, her leg is like bandaged up. You notice that the underside of her foot, which is unbooted, is like it's dirty, as if she's been dragging it or using it to stand on. That's the little bit you notice. This bit, like, what? Weird. That leg is broken.
Is she saying anything?
I'm getting to that. Since
sorry.
Just said, you know, what did you want? Like, for what purpose did you call me here? I So, like I said, she looks it up and sees you, and she goes, oh, Flint, good. She puts the book down, and she has this bit of a squirm to her, and she scratches the back of her head, and she says, would you mind sitting down?
I guess next question is there actually a place to sit down?
Oh, you could use the cot next to her, which is empty, or you could sit on the floor. It's your choice.
We'll sit on the cot. Take that cleansing breath. It says, I'm busy scouting. What do you need, Bruna? How can I help?
You remember you said you'd look out for me, right?
And absolutely.
And I said I'd try to look out for you.
I appreciate that.
Well, I may need your help. According to Stonebones, I have been sleepwalking. And she says that like she doesn't say it quite as readily as I did. It's like, you know, there's a pause between I've been and then there's a lump in her throat. Like she doesn't really want to get at it.
That's good for a squirrely look. How can you walk on a broken leg?
Is that a question?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think I've been walking on it. I have a crutch, and she like reaches under the cot and pulls it out. Stormont says it's good to keep moving every once in a while, but I don't use the leg to walk on. I'm not sure how I've been getting around.
Should I just take the crutch away from you? Then you'd be sleep crawling.
She looks like, you know, I don't know if that would be good or bad, but maybe I wouldn't go as far.
We'll sit there, play with the beard, click the beads from side to side. So,
would you mind terribly watching over me the next day or two? Yes, now. Do you have anything better to do?
Clamp goes to teeth. I suppose we can watch, which he's not actually against. It's just... It's like the hands are like needlessly kneading. what are you reading?
It's like an old survey. She hands it over. Kind of a journal by some, what do the dwarves call them? Like artisans. Like a stonemason's journal. Someone whose job it was at one time in Scoria to go look for the perfect stone and rock to like build the perfect palaces out of. There's a bit of a library further in, if you're curious. Might help pass the time.
The evil light comes on in his eyes. Huh. It just so happens I need some maps and some survey information for a side project I'm working with.
Well, good. Good.
I could use another pair of eyes.
I'll help out so long as I can keep them open.
Sure.
That foul brew that Stonebones brings around, it puts me to sleep.
Well, maybe he needs to take some tips from our resident brewmaster.
Oh, not that kind of brew, but yeah.
Not the direction I thought Flint would go in, but if you're going to set a trap, it better to do it with honey.
Well, I mean, here's the question. Do you say no to the lady and leave a task undone?
No, actually, we're going to do two tasks. We're going to keep an eye on her, and I'm going to coerce her into helping me research, see if we can find any maps to that hidden valley.
All right. That sounds totally viable.
I may not like the fact that I'm pulled away from one task to another, but at least I'm making progress on something.
So is this something that touches upon one of your existing beliefs, or should we refine one of them?
It, in a way, it does touch on the scouting of Scoria Deep and learn her secrets.
Yeah.
Because I'm wanting to find secret passages or unmarked tunnels and hidden ways. And a survey may be actually just the thing I'm looking for.
So maybe you should add, like, find the way to, what did we call it, the retreat?
I don't think we gave it a name, did we?
I called it, like, a retreat.
Or
find a way to the Hidden Valley. Find the way to the Hidden Valley or whatever you want to call it.
Sure. Yeah, the Hidden Retreat.
Hidden Retreat, yeah. As a like goal. So then you have something you can earn. You can earn some
sure.
for it.
There is a belief that's not a belief But Flint will actually try to be sweet and accommodating and chatting. I don't know if I would call it seduction because, God, I don't want to roll the dice again.
Well, if you want, if you have an intent that is about a belief, then I'm obliged to make you roll. But if it's not in your beliefs, then it's
not a belief, but it is a Flint long term goal to befriend Bruna. And
all right.
He's well saved her life, so that's one way we're heading towards that. But
could I use your oddly likable to get you in trouble here? I guess I'll have to wait till you're like dining with goblins or something.
I can think of ways, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Well, it's going to earn you fate, so it yeah.
If I'm trying to calmly, slowly, and take my time and woo Bruna, oddly likable means someone else draws a fancy to me.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, probably not as hair-raising and intense as you want, but it does really align with Flint's current set of beliefs and instincts to help the lady and research.
I'm sure nothing will go wrong.
Absolutely not.
So
I'm just waiting for the hold to be set on fire. Then we can save the books.
Well, the fearsome machine is going out of the hold, hopefully. So I guess we'll leave Flint and Bruna there for now, and we'll sure. Get back to like testing stuff, researching further passages. Okay, so the construction of this magnificent war machine took a day. Right, from scavenging all the material to planning it out to putting it all together. I guess this is like the morning after the long night it took to like put in the final pieces and test it out and all that stuff.
And sealing up every freaking leak I could find.
As far as you know, you took every precaution, and it's a magnificent machine. What was the meaning of that name again that you gave it? The Fiery Bane of the Great Spiders?
yes, the Fiery Bane of the Great Spiders, Evzagur Ursulu Uban.
So you're done. All that remains is really to like check in with the prince and see what the plan is, and then you can put it to motion.
When we do the test, I mean, we do that test in front of the prince, so you can see that we are ready.
Oh, yeah, you did.
You know, goes constantly looking at the machine going, did I forget something?
Let's go to the war room and put you there and the prince there and Roar. Let's go to like considerations for how to approach this.
Now, we don't have a proper map for the area, but other than what we've drawn from memory, I guess, right?
Well, there are some old maps of Skoria that the prince has. Fandos probably used cartography to fill in the bits he remembers, like this section was broken and stuff like that. So it's been a whole day, so he's had plenty of time to do that and other plans. So some considerations are, how many people are you bringing? Do you need like a specific team to move? It was fairly movable, I think, the machine itself.
Yeah,
was made so you could hook it up to some ropes and then lift it down over the debris.
That's why it's got big wheels. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why it's got big wheels. Get them over it. For operation, we're only going to have the two dwarves on it for operations, but for moving, we probably will need a small team of dwarves to move it along.
You don't want your apprentices to get in the
into the warriors.
Danger.
Yeah, it had to be the princess warriors to help move it because they're going to be there anyway.
We've established that Fandal has his own little retinue of axe bearers, and we've established that Roar has about 50 warriors, and the rest of the company of dwarves are like camp followers and people who fix shoes and make sure you have food.
All busy laying claim to various portions of Skoria as we speak.
How would you like to distribute that? How many people would you like to bring for this this excursion?
We're going to be bringing the majority of the combatants because we want to make sure we stomp all these spiders.
By the majority, I guess you could maybe ring out 50 dwarves, axe bearers, and scouts. Some are away on scouting missions, and I suspect you might want to leave a few in key positions around the hold.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like an immediate threat from the humans to like do something stupid or rash.
We just impressed them with our.
You did. So it's a little like, do you feel like, can you trust them not to do something stupid, or like, would you leave more people to hold key positions? So that's a question.
Let me throw out a question. Do any of the humans want to come along? Maybe they have a thing about these spiders.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
But this is like imagine the your little war room scene where you're considering this first before the crazy revelation stuff happens. If you're still on for like taking the majority, and that seems like a good course, then you'll have like 50 folks, 50 fighters.
Yeah. We got a nice combined arms thing going because we got the boar spears, we got arbalists, we got the fire bombs in addition to all our axes. So
point, I should look that up, the firebomb stuff, just in case. Probably not going to play a super detailed role, but good to know what they do specifically, mechanically. Okay. Oh, that can be bad. Fun stuff. Okay. So I guess you're just like allocating who's coming with you with Roar. I guess he's standing there by like the stone table with you, where you have the maps and all that stuff and with his fists on the table going, well, do you want me to come along or should I keep an eye out for treachery from the humans?
How do you feel about missing out on the action?
Not happy, but you never know what these blanky ones will... Well, I think maybe you cowed enough of them, but you never know. There was that guard commander or whatever it was. Might be up to some... I hope he left, but we haven't heard from him or seen him, I guess.
I think we're going to need all we can to fight these spiders.
Well, in that case, I'll certainly go with. Okay, so any input for Wolfkill?
Yeah, he's looking at the map and he's remembering, you know, where the debris was. Well, we probably should lead with the war machine. What is that thing old Cuttlebird, the half beard used to say? Shock and awe. We would definitely shock those damn eight-legged freaks.
Let's hope so. Well,
should work for most of the way, except for the pieces where we have to carry it.
Also realize we probably need to use it first to get in there and at least clear a lot of the webbing as we can with the fire. Mainly because, and I said, I only got 50 gallons of dwarven fire in there. And based on the test with water, that's good for about, 5-10 minutes of constant flame.
Well, spew it selectively, then.
Controlled burst.
Do we have a drum and bugle corps?
I'm sure someone from Roar's company can play the drum if you need to.
The sound of dwarven drums down the tunnels.
It's more like, it's more like dwarven horns and dwarven songs. Like you probably have this delightful roaring war song that you can sing on the way down.
Well, then they hear us such that we put the fear of dwarves in them. We were playing Fate. I've been trying to create the advantage of scared spiders.
We could use that as a linked test to whatever you might need to do later. Or I could just give you an advantage. It's far easier that way. Since it seems like you have your plan together, then nothing really remains but to, gather the men and go do it. I guess we'll cut to you leaving the quote-unquote Forbidden City portion of Scoria to go down and fetch the men and all that. When you do, you three, and you're like walking down the steps into the rest of human-controlled Scoria, you're met by this sort of procession of about 20-40 humans. They look like they're warriors. They have swords and axes and stuff. But they all look like maybe they're in the older segment. Maybe they're veterans, or maybe they're a little older, too old maybe to serve as watchmen or something like that. And at the head of them is this bare-chested individual with like long streaming black hair. He has like the top of his head is bald, and he's sort of painted his forehead and the top of his head in that red way that they like to do. He approaches and just simply says, Prince Vandril, a moment.
Yes, we're kind of busy. Won't take long.
This will not take long at all. We would like to join you.
In?
Oh, you're like beckoning, like, join you how? Or
yes.
We've seen the effigy. We've seen the fire. We want to take part in it.
You know we're going to battle a nest of giant spiders.
Slaying with fire and steel is holiness. And like the whole like group of them, sort of begin to murmur, either in prayer or in agreement with his statement. Is this the, and he points to Ulfkill, is this the artificer we heard about?
Yes.
I'm a brewer, yes.
So the prince says, yes. You say, I'm a brewer.
I brew many things.
You have the serpent's touch. We will follow you. And, of course, the prince. And he makes a sort of inclination of his head to impart respect.
Lean over to the prince and say, perhaps they've lost a few folks to the spiders too, my liege.
Perhaps.
We could use them as the front troops for...
If you
they're like, if you want a more specific description, like they're a little older. Almost none of them have actual armor. Some of them are like the man in front, like the leader, are like they've stripped down to the waist. They have like splashes of red paint on them, and like I said, like they're a little older, so they don't seem to be like the cream of the crop or something like that.
Are you and your people willing to accept that this is very dangerous, and some of you may not be coming back?
This we are aware of. None of us here are wived. None of us have families. It does not matter. Anyway, it is more holy to die in battle than to while away in idleness in this hold.
If you join us, you must agree to follow my orders.
He looks back to the rest of them. He goes, "Is this agreeable?" And they all go give a sort of boot. Todd's chat, Suicide Squad. Not quite, but not altogether wrong. You know, they all give assent, and he does a deeper sort of inclination of his head, and he says, "This is agreeable to me as well. My name is Tarsomon," and he like slaps his breast.
Tarsomon?
Tarsomon, yes. Tarsomon. For the ones keeping track of spelling.
Well, Roar myself will discuss how best to integrate your men into our plans.
We expect nothing less. And Roar is looking a bit like more of these people, right? But he is deferring to you. Actually, he leans in and goes, should we let them lead, maybe?
We need to use them in a way we're not dependent on them. If they can help us, it'll be a bonus, but...
They don't seem to care whether they live or die. Stick them in the van. The spiders can eat them first, and then we burn the rest of them.
I don't know whether that's the most effective use, and they might get in the way then.
Very well. Do you have a different plan?
As well, we can probably use them as insurance that we don't get any spiders sneaking around us and flanking us.
You want them behind us? And he looks like, well, really? I'm not sure I trust that much.
Well, more use them to the sides and to keep in areas where that we don't want to have any spiders getting around to the sides.
I could live with that. I could live with that. Flanking. Good. Good, good, good. Either way, they die first. I'm happy.
we'll mainly keep to our plan that we is going to work without them. So if they can provide us a little bonus, then that's good.
All right, then. When you're doing this whole thing, several of these older fighters have gathered around Ulfkell, and they're reaching out toward him, like with their fingers, not quite touching. And then, like, it's like they're taking something from you, and then they're, like, letting it go in front of their faces, like they're taking something and releasing it onto themselves, their forehead.
Ulfkell raises his arm and takes a sniff. Not that.
Smell of beer.
Like it's probably a weird experience. Like,
can I help you?
they just, you know, incline their heads as if, you know, they're affording you respect, and then they sort of melt back into the rest of their throng.
I look around and I see if my layabout apprentice and uppity fellow brewer are busy at the machine or not.
Oh, of course, yes. If you keep on going the way you were going, then you'll reach the launch.
And there's probably a crowd of these red painted humans around it too, isn't there?
Yeah, but more in the sense of like they're looking on, seeing what you're about to do. Because it's, you know, maybe there's more fire. Who knows?
Probably to them. Yeah, and make it look scary. So I have no idea how they're making it look scary, besides the fact it burns fire.
I think it looks pretty scary already, maybe. Black iron plates and the wagon and the whole...
Dragon head?
Yes.
Yeah, but I can see them getting some of that red paint from the humans and are painting various things on the side. God knows what it looks like.
let's move on. I mean, I think you have your little battle plan. I think you have various bonuses knocked out, and you have your fellow humans. I guess you start on your way.
Do we have a big presentation first before we get off, or we just get up and get going? I mean, we are going to beard the spiders in their den and, you know, score something. Do we actually do a speech beforehand? Does the prince do a speech beforehand to the assembled crowd?
I mean, it depends. Do you want a scene like that where you're setting the company in motion and laying down what you're about to do? Is it necessary?
I don't know whether it's necessary for a big speech. You know, we're going to take another step towards cleansing Scoria of the foul monsters that have taken it over.
It's good that the flint isn't here.
This will be another chapter in the great book of our deeds here.
Mm-hmm. All right, the humans look grimly on. The dwarves give an eye in response, of course.
Oh, I can imagine Murtaugh just to suck up to Ufkel say, and we got the spider breaker of Marl with us, too.
Aethelbald is grumbling beside you, but...
Yeah, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it, lad.
Yeah, he waves. Maybe that wasn't why he was grumbling.
I don't think this is part of the brewer's resume.
You want to brew? We need to get the breweries clean. All right, so your war machine, in the greater, broader sense, not just the machine, begin to roll down the tunnels, and I guess you strike up that the drums and the horns and the loud singing echo down the tunnels, makes it sound like there's a whole army on the way. Depending on which period of history you are speaking about, it certainly is an army.
And with the humans, we actually have more help now getting around some of the bigger piles of debris and clearing them out or hauling this thing over it.
It's helpful sometimes because they're taller. So when you reach a point that you may have had to use several dwarves or ropes to securely move the machine.
We probably brought lots of extra planks to the light. We're building temporary bridges with the planks.
Got a few of our engineer corps working on the road here.
Hey, that makes for happy dwarves.
Yeah. Of course, Ufkel's on top yelling, don't tip it too much. It might slosh over.
Farther down you get, or away, rather, toward the breweries, the more spirited the humans seem to get. And Tarsoman approaches the prince. He says, I'm glad you let us come with. This is surely the serpent's hour.
Well, I hope it will be our hour, and not the spider's.
Certainly not. I understand you slew Lord Rom with your own hands.
Yes. He made it necessary.
This I don't doubt. Perhaps Rom was not the gloried prophet he seemed. Perhaps he was a lesser one meant to guide us here to the deeps of the mountains, to you. And he looks like, when he says that, he sort of has this intent look on the war machine.
I would say the mountain and the humans have not gotten along well together.
I cannot speak against you. We have not fared well. But so it is when one follows a lesser prophet. You have made a pact with the lady, I understand.
Yes, we have an agreement.
I will warn you that she is not in the serpent's favor. She does not know holiness. I would not trust her word. She was Rom's weakness, certainly. And I think she is unworthy of her newfound station.
Well, as your people go to make their way on the surface, I'm sure you will find appropriate leadership.
We shall see, he says.
I would hope you do not come into conflicts here in Scoria.
It remains to be seen whether the serpent takes us now or later. For now, we are under your command.
I'm sure we will have a glorious success here against the spiders.
He grunts and nods. If you're satisfied, then he has nothing else to say. So, you continue down your way.
Other than kind of thinking, yeah, maybe Roar's right. I should put that guy up front.
There is still time. Okay.
So I figure when we get within, I say a minute or so of breaching the area again, that's when Ufkel says, light the pilot.
All right. So I'm going to go back to you. When we do, we're going to get into like the whole assault thing. In the meantime, though, let's see what's going on in the Rockhewer's Hall. So I guess this is like roughly at the same time. So Flint.
Yes, the devious dog. Yes, it is.
So you've been spending a couple of hours there. And Stonebones can easily point out like, oh, you go through that hall there and into there's a repository with tablets and books and scrolls.
Well, Flint, being the dutiful monomaniac that he is, will go pouring through texts and tap Bruna's previous experience with the library as to what she's already looked at. Has she heard about any hidden retreats that the Goddardams may have mentioned? Any survey maps that were done relatively recently and the like?
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine this is going to put Bruna into a coma.
Well, let's see if you can find some worthwhile information, shall we?
Sure. I've already had my bad roll for today. I can't have any more.
Optimism. I like it. This would be an OB3 test, research test, to get some worthwhile information out of stuff.
Okay. Well, looks like I have...
But I'm going to give you an advantage die because you have the right... tools, right? You have survey reports, and it's about, you know, stone deposits and where to find paths.
Yeah, well, I've also got a Bruna, so...
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I was just holding on to see if you had some other ideas for forks and other...
Well, since I'm opening, or I'm in the process of opening research, I can't fork anything, right?
Oh, true. That's true.
So I imagine it's perception plus advantages and OB3.
Since it's beginner's luck, it's actually OB6, but it counts as an OB3 for advancement purposes. So it's another tick toward opening research.
Well, that will have to do, and who knows, maybe it might get explodey or something. We're looking 6 dice with 6 successes.
Well, you get 1 from Bruna. She can help out with her perception, okay. Her unskilled perception.
Yay!
It's a little different from actually being out there scouting, but, you know...
Well, it's scouting, but you're just scouting through someone else's observations.
Yeah, yeah.
So that gives me 7 versus 6.
Yes,
we can do this. Come on, I haven't had a pack of sixes in ages.
Would you like to spend any artum up front?
Crap, you know I would.
If you succeed, obviously, you know you're going to find a path to the point you want, right? If you don't succeed, you're still going to find a path.
Thanks. You know what? We're going to dump three persona into this because he's going to get distracted from his mission with the spiders to his mission for finding the Goddardam crest. So he gets lost in time and even motivates Bruno with his stories and the things that he's looking for and just tries to make it infectious. So that'll get me up to 10 versus an obstacle 6. This might be doable. Ooh. Survey says, geez, Louise. Okay, so what can I spend fate on, if anything?
You can spend 1 fate to open the 6. And if you are very lucky, it will roll twice. It will roll over twice.
What's I got? 1, 2, 3 successes. Oh, hey, it's a 0.5% chance. Why not throw some fate at it? There's 1 6.
And we're holding our breath.
Well, I don't want to roll a D16. There's a 2nd 6. So that's 5.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Traitor!
So
missed
close.
By 1. That should be my new instinct.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah.
This is so confusing. It's like are we even talking dwarvish here?
Like I said, you still find a path.
Yes.
And you believe it to be a viable path, right? You have at least 2 survey reports that point to it being traversable and having certain good spots for stone deposits that are useful. This takes an extra hour, maybe, or 2. Like, by the time you find, like, the 2nd corroborating report, Bruna's nodding off in her cot. I imagine her lap is just full of scrolls and tablets and books that you've been going through, and she's been, you know, double checking.
We'll quietly walk over, pluck the scrolls off, set them aside, get some rest. You need to recover.
No, she's just mumbling and going to sleep.
Fine.
I imagine there? like Stonebones has been by a couple of times with a beer, a meal, stuff like that. So you've had.
So you're saying he's got better bedside manner than Slate does?
Well, I'll let Slate answer that. I think you mean that he didn't come by and try to extort you. Yeah, that's true.
I got my eye on Slate. Just a little too silver-tongued. It reminds me a bit of the prince.
Hold on, silver-tongued Slate? Are we talking about the same person?
Well, the difference is one is successful and the other is not.
Fair enough.
But they use the same tools.
Well, Slate's means of persuasion are a little more crude than the prince's. The prince's is more cagey, right? Because it's persuasion and not coarse persuasion. There are no elbows and winks.
Yeah, but in 100 years, I could see Slate, you know, talking the, you know, the shirt off your back.
Oh, that's quite possible. And then extorting it back.
Hey, I've got a shirt for sale. Is it cold in here?
So, yeah, you see Tabruna, and as you do, you know, you're easing her back into the cot, you can see Scully from across the room giving you the evil eye, and like you can hear a low growl.
Well, if that'll get a distressed look from Flint, because he's oddly likable. No one should be growling at him.
Well, it's been like five or six days since you were since he was in that fire and nearly died.
And I wasn't even there. So
no, indeed.
Back at him, says, "Who pissed in your beer?"
he gives you an extra evil eye look, like an extra long stare, and then he laboriously turns over, giving you the back.
The evil eye from the back of his head. Well, I guess we'll set up a watch and make sure Bruna doesn't wander off.
Right. So Stonebones comes by and says, "Well, it's good to have an extra pair of eyes. I'm not sure where she went, but she came half crawling in here the other night."
I was just going to ask you, where does a sleepwalker go when they're sleeping?
Well, I wish I could tell you, but I have not studied sleepwalking quite intensely, not as intensely as Trenchfoot and other. And other violent maladies.
Given the nature of the prince, probably expertise with violent maladies is what is needed. But give me a nudge if I nod off, but I'm going to keep an eye on her.
Good. I will be over there, and just haul her if she starts to crawl out and you need help.
Right.
So cutting back to our assault plan. So you're approaching... You're approaching the big cavern now. You're making it down the last few debris-filled stretches of the river or stream by this time, passing the point, the fissure where you made your stand previously. I guess Ulfkill is lighting the...
The pilot light.
Yes. And people are starting to really like focus on what their positions and so forth. Does any one of you have observation?
Ulfkill does.
He does. Cool.
Yep. At B4. I'm in the front, so yeah, I guess I get the main.
That's true. That's true. So let's have you test observation. So have you test against an ob of 5. You can get help from your fellow brewers.
Okay.
And I'll give you an extra die for the humans who are nearby.
So a total of 2 extra dice. 3.
You have Risa. Yes. You're both Aethelbald and Murtaugh to like keep a lookout and the humans, so that's 3 extra.
So it gives me 7 dice then.
Yes.
I'm not going to spend anything on it right now.
It's chilly down here and eerily quiet. You can see the glitter of the web-covered breweries in the distance.
Oh my god, 6 successes.
Well, would
you're
you?
You're welcome. I didn't take all of yours.
So as you make your way down, you start to notice like one of you, the humans sort of stumbles over something, kind of like a hole in the ground, right? That is a little like more shadowy than the rest of the cave. You may be like, "Arr, clumsy human." And then, you know, you begin to look around and you begin to see more of these sort of, it's not like quite like potholes, but when the ground is uneven and deeper, there's a deeper darkness there. And you begin to see that on the walls as well.
That's where I come to stop and look around.
And then you see there's sort of a glitter in that deep darkness as of eyes.
I put my hand out and sort of signal, "Firebomb, firebomb." And I point to one of the shadowy areas. Firebomb.
To one of your fellows or
whoever
nearest taxpayer?
Firebomb.
Well, let's have you do a stealthy test if you want to do this without alerting any of the watchers.
Okay. I don't have stealth. It's my speed. 4.
4. The obstacle is going to be 2. It's going to be a routine right test. So it's going to work toward opening stealthy, which is, of course, is double to 4.
I'm not going to burn anything on this in terms of...
You'll get one helping die from the axe bearer with the firebomb.
2 successes, but there's a 6. I'll burn a fate point and reroll that 6. Nope. I'm about as obvious as a guy painted bright neon orange on a freeway.
As you begin to sign and whisper for firebombs, there's a skittering in the deep of the hollows. Several dog-sized spiders that look like they're kind of they have this sort of rust red coloring to them. They're not terribly hairy, but they have these 4 white dots on their thorax, the big back portion of their body. And they leap out of the darkness and in among you. Not all at once, obviously. Some are very far away. Suddenly, I don't know where everyone in the company are like, "Oh, spiders!"
Trapdoor spiders.
Waiting devious little things. You get a closer look on one of them, and it's like, it's as if it jumped out of the hollow and brought with it like a covering, as if the hole was covered in web, which was making the whole darkness happen. So when it's leaping out, the darkness is sort of dispersed, and there's this like veil of webbing hanging off the spider when it comes out.
Maneuvering here is going to be interesting now because we have all these holes.
Okay, so a couple of the humans are bit and wrestled by these spiders. Mm. There's one scrambling up on top of the war machine.
Ulfkill's got his hammer ready, so that is one of my traits. Always have my weapons ready.
Yeah. You are in amongst some sneaky spiders, and getting past them will require some kind of violence fun. So what do you want to do, guys?
Well,
or violence on fun, depending on how it goes.
We're expecting spiders, so this is where we start the killing.
All right. Yeah, the humans are already at it, trying to get the few that are among them, because they're the outermost.
We've got arbalists to cut down ones that are coming at us.
All right.
We got guys with the boar spears that can hold up any charging ones, and we got the guys with the shields and axes to chop down any ones that get up close.
And don't forget the firebombs.
And we've got firebombs that they can throw in if we got a nice...
They're a little close for firebombs, these ones anyway. But you certainly have all the other advantages and options. And you have the one on the war machine to deal with, maybe. But then maybe that's an overkill issue.
Yeah, I yelled, "Don't shoot at the war machine with an arbalest."
I think one of the scouts lowers the arbalest instead. Fires at someone else.
Stick a torch in his face.
Fireball!
I got my hammer, so I'm going to probably hammer at it.
So I guess we'll handle Oldkill's situation in a more of a micro test, and then we'll carry the bigger situation in a sort of Vandrel strategy fashion. Okay, so let's start with Oldkill. You have that spider on top of the machine. It's crawling over the dragon's head. Perched atop it now. And it's sort of hissing and clicking, and, as it's making its way forward, but it, you know, you still have a good bit. You could throw something at it if you like it.
There's also the release valve for the thing. I wonder if I could trigger it so it blows the fumes in its face.
All right.
And try to drive it off. Oh, gee, what skill would that be?
Sounds like war engineer.
Try to drive it off, at least push it back to where it's in front of the dragon's mouth, and we'll find out how well the dragon's mouth works now.
Here's something you can't do. Technology!
Yeah. Well, first, I want to know how hard this is.
I guess it's as hard as pulling a lever.
No, in terms of obstacle. Whether I...
Well, I'm trying to judge what you're doing first so I can determine the obstacle.
And because of the learning skill, I can't fork anything in, so it's going to be straight.
But I think technically you're using it in an unorthodox fashion, so maybe it's rather a speed test to time it, right? To time the release.
Okay, yeah. B4. Yeah, just right. The spray, you spray bacon-flavored fumes in its face.
So let's do a versus speed test, and if you succeed, you pour the release fumes on it, and you know it's gonna fall off and screech, be bubbled and burned. Let's see.
Of course, little bastard's faster than I am, isn't it?
And speed is B6. You are right. It's very speedy.
I have 4 persona.
If you fail, it's gonna reach you and start to like grapple with you.
Yeah, then that's when I pull the hammer out and start bashing on it then. We'll try this. We'll see. Maybe you roll bad and I'll roll good.
It's quite possible.
Yep, maybe.
Given the rolls so far, although you may have gotten a very good roll there. So.
Yeah, 1 against your 2.
2 successes. Do you have any sixes? No?
Nope.
You reach.
I reach for the look. I got a string tied to it so I can pop it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Manually.
So you maybe do that whole, like, you brace the cord around your arm and you pull and you just miss it. It spurts out hot. What hot fumes? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it'd be hot, greasy fumes.
Is there a tin whistle attached to it, or is that just, you know?
No, I haven't done that yet. No. Besides, it would gum up with the grease after a while.
All right, so you just miss it and it leaps for you.
Your other hand's suddenly, got my hammer.
You're suddenly entangled in like 8 legs and parts grabbing for you.
I see you motivated it to get off of your machine.
In the meantime, let's factor stuff for Fandral. Like,
there
isn't a whole lot of these spiders. There are maybe 12 of them. So you have a large numbers advantage, and you have a lot of the equipment necessary to, you know, stomp on them. They're not huge, so they don't have like any advantage in that area. Their advantage was you didn't know they were there, and now you do. So it's
so they ambushed us.
It's really like it's their little like strategy. Actually, not their strategy, but someone else's strategy. B6 versus yours, and you can work in any number of you have armor. You have good weapons against armor. You have extra people. There are 3 advantage dice right there. Anything else you can think of? Firebombs are out because they're among you, right?
Just thinking about how I want to deploy my Arda.
If you succeed, you're going to, you know, take them down in no time. If you don't succeed, you're going to be distracted enough for stage 2 of their little stratagem to come into effect while you're still fighting.
Fork in command, because...
Oh, yeah.
Organize and bark at people to get in the right spot. Throw some persona.
I just realized I shortchanged you guys. I'm going to take a die off them. Because I think they were expecting something more dangerous and scary with your whole, like, making noise scheme. So you're up against 5 dice.
And it will be a surprise because we'll be even more dangerous and scary than they expected.
Yeah, they have no idea what the wagon is.
Yeah, we'll throw a persona in there to go to 10 die.
Okay. I guess I'll roll first. Not 56.
Oh, my God.
They're all helping each other. I'm sorry. Let me redo that. This is the real test. Okay, 2 successes.
Well, there's 4.
All right, so...
1 6 if I need it.
You don't. As per the stakes, you bark out the orders you need to bark out. The axe bearers and scouts are on top of it. The humans are hewing like crazy. Even though, like, 3 of them are sort of on the ground, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. And they have, like, these big gouge marks in their necks or, like, on their torsos. These are the ones that had, like, no armor.
Stupid humans.
Okay, so let's do Ulfkell's thing here real quick. So... It's right in your face, the spider, and its mandibles.
It's trying to bite me.
Yeah, it's they're just moving back and forth and trying to tag you, and they're sort of dripping with this greenish, sickly goop.
If I can get my feet underneath on its thorax, I'm using my brawling because try to kick it off the wagon so it lands amongst the warriors and they can finish it off.
Oh, you have brawling. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
Do I have anything else that give me a help in that? Probably not. Unless I can help, use my hammer as an extra lever to get out.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you an advantage die for the hammer for like holding it off.
And then get my feet underneath it so I can kick it out. So that'd be 4d6.
Okay. You're at equal dice. And let me make sure that I don't roll 45d6 at stake. Here we go.
No, I think I'm going to take what I got. So yes, I'll save my persona for later.
Doom. Haha, okay, you succeed.
3. Yes.
You managed to wrench it away and you kick it out down among the fighters, right?
With a yell, incoming!
There's a trail of like spidery saliva as it's flying off and down into the in amongst them with its legs spasming.
And it lands in the worst position for a spider, on its back.
Stick an axe in it.
I think Cuthred, the axe bearer with the bug eyes, you know, he just walks up and stomps on it. There's goop all over, like he lifts his boot and it's like all these strands of spider innards stuck to it.
Custard.
Yes. So having not even deployed the war machine yet or war engine, you plow through the initial little assault and you can see in the distance that more spiders are appearing in the webbing around the breweries. Clearly at a disadvantage. They were probably holding on for you to get closer before this whole thing came to pass. So you have a moment to like make up any new possible strategies that you would like to do.
I tell the humans to make sure to stick a spear or sword in any of those holes to make sure nothing comes out of them.
All right. They you know, start to poke them. But it appears that once the spiders were out, it's just a regular like hollow with the edge of the hollow or the hole is like has these remnants of webbing.
We've got them all then.
Yeah. And the humans, they're just leaving their comrades to like roll and toss and choke, not even looking back. Hmm.
Be honest, there's not much we can do for them.
That's Slate's job.
Sadly, Slate is away.
Well, that doesn't mean it can't happen in a flashback.
Might
make some friends.
Well, he's busy searching for his family stuff, right? Remember?
Oh, yeah. I thought Slate was in the retinue in the back of the company.
Oh, no.
No. My bad.
He snuck off tie, you might remember.
Sorry, poor humans. I tried.
Advance. Hold your position. What do you do?
So we're getting our engine in position to where he'll be able to start blasting the webbings. We got the guys with the boar spears set up so that if there are any spiders come charging us, you know, they'll be able to hold them off. We got the arbalists all loaded up, ready to start firing.
Excellent.
That sounds like a strategy roll, doesn't it?
Certainly does, yeah. As you're setting up, as you're moving toward it and you know, working out the dwarven linked formations and, you know, the humans are covering you from the outside.
And we're making sure, you know, we keep an eye up as well.
Oh, yeah. It's just a glitter. There are no, like, dark spots or anything like that there. The glitter from the mineral deposits in the ceiling. You can see in the breweries that more spiders are crawling out of it and up through tunneling and such. It's almost like, you know, when you poke... It's not quite when you poke a spider egg, you know, and there are thousands of these little critters that creep out. It's not quite like that, but it's a bit like, you know, someone stirred it and yeah, a whole horde of these middling sized spiders, but somewhere between dog and dwarf sized, darker shade. And, you know, they're crawling out and hurling these webs at you. It's a bit like Spider-Man, right? They're hurling these strands at you. And when they hit someone, maybe they don't. So let's do the like they're hurling these things at you.
They're starting to get that close. Then that's light them up, Ufgal, and
we'll have absolutely
the arbalist firing at them, and maybe a few bombs. If
necessary. I was hoping that so it would make a strategy roll so I can get a helping die, because it is a learning skill. And the only way I can get a helping die is if my prince were to make sure we had the strategy set right.
That is interesting. I was thinking you would do a linked test, so you would have advantages to Fandral's strategy because you have that engine.
So his previous strategy roll would still count, or would it?
No. I was thinking like this is a separate small engagement or big, depending on how it goes. Mm-hmm. We'd start with a war engine test, and if it goes really well, then you add a bunch of.
So I'm cranking up and laying down a wall of fire.
This is a combination with the odd fire bomb and arbalest bolts and war spear poking.
This is more like me, like in Fate, creating an advantage.
What you're doing, yeah. We're linking your war engine test to Fandral's strategy, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Am I getting any helping dice from the guys tossing fire bombs or anything like that?
To operate the war machine, no. But I think you're getting help from both Murtaugh and Aethelbald.
Well, like I said, meeting up in the war machine is more like both, yes, operating it, but also using it effectively.
Yeah.
Using it effectively is to get that wall of fire out there.
Yeah, but they're not actually there. You're doing the machinery for you. Yeah, I might give you an advantage die for having other dwarves around you. I could do that.
All right. So give me 7d6. And what am I going against?
I'd say it's not too hard to like just operate it, like point it in the right direction and work the mechanism. I'd maybe even call that like an ob 2.
Now, remember,
I'd go with ob 1, but you're sort of working with moving targets.
And remember, it's not perfect, so I hate to make it even harder for myself, but it's not perfect. So wouldn't that be another ob on top of that?
Oh, no. It's just that's more for, whether or not you fail or not.
So how it fails, if I fail, does it fail spectacularly in me taking out the front rank of us? Yeah. I think I'll spend a persona on this one. So
I think that is probably a good idea. Yes. So you have three advantage eyes, two from your apprentices and one for having support.
Oh, so that puts me at 9 plus the one I spend. So it puts me at 10. 10 okay. D6.
10 again against 4.
I need 7.
You succeed in. Oh, excellent. Okay. So you give effective backup or support to Fandral's other strategic objectives.
And that would be a routine, wouldn't it?
Ob 4 against. You don't count the Arta, but you do count the bonuses from helping. So, yeah, it would be routine.
I lay it down a wall of bacon smelling fire.
Okay. So you get an extra bonus there, Fandral. You don't have a numbers advantage anymore, but of course you have a war machine, so that's a big boon. So it's still three extra tactics dice. I'm going to spend two of their persona to bump their strategy up to 7. See how that goes. Anything else you want to work in before we go to the test?
Right, fork in command again.
Sure.
This time we'll spend... How lucky do I feel now? Not very... We'll go with the 3 persona.
Cool. Okay, so 7 extra dice for you. Boom for them. 5 successes.
Ooh. Though?
Would you like to... you had a plan, so would you like to...
Yeah, I can use my call-on trait here.
Yes. How many traitors? 1, 2, 3...
9 traitors.
9? Oh, yeah.
There's 7 successes with some 6s if I need to use them.
Hold on to those. Let me spend one of their... Few fate to see if their 6 opens. Otherwise, you're in the lead, right? Otherwise, you're gonna get through these wave without problems. And that is a no. So you don't need to spend anything. You just in combination with the fire bombs and Ulfkill's fire spitting war engine and all the other stuff, you make it without any trouble to the walls of the fortified breweries. You burn away some of the webbing around the around the entrance, the gate. And while you're doing this, and arbalesters are picking off spiders above you, and they're falling down, and they're hurling these strands at you. They're plucking out a human here, a human there. When the strand hits someone, it's almost like a bungee cord, so it sort of yanks them away from your ranks. So, there are a few people going, as, their weapons clatter down to the ground and they're drawn up into the webbing and pulled inside. But you take almost no casualties, just a few people, just a few of the humans. All the dwarves are fine.
Everybody should be prepared. If you get hit by one of those, cut that strand quick.
So while all this exciting stuff is happening, we're going to cut back to the... the Stonecutter's Hall, Stonehewer's Hall.
The not-so-exciting stuff.
Well, you never know. So Flint, you've been poring over texts for a while, and you know, now it's getting kind of boring.
It's very quiet in here.
Yeah, how about you give me an ob 3 fort test to stay awake?
Let's see. Fort is a 5. We can do this. Sure, but we'll just make that straight up test. I don't think we need to burn any persona on this.
No. Well, that's up to you. I shouldn't. Oh, wow. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. You have it.
Actually made it.
No worries.
Huzzah!
You've spent some time scouting and sitting on rocks and waiting for shit to happen, so.
Okay,
it's
so.
Not that new.
Routines do nothing for.
No.
Fort.
No.
Okay.
Nothing for stats. I guess you're maybe going over some of your charts. You know, maybe making some notes of your own, so mm-hmm. you don't have to carry a library with you.
That would be good.
And in the midst of this, Bruna starts to mumble in her sleep and toss right and left.
Well, if she's going to stay put, then not much to worry about that. But if she's mumbling anything interesting, like she's talking to the Atharch, that would be interesting.
She might be talking, but it's not something that seems to be intelligent.
He'll just mumble. Go back to sleep. Get some rest.
It's getting like she's almost rolling off the cot.
Under her own power? I mean...
Yeah. It's like something's going on in her dream or whatever.
We'll reach over, put a hand on her head saying, where do you think you're going? Just push her back down.
All right. It takes a little work, but you manage to settle her and make sure she's not like about to roll off or go anywhere. Whatever she was experiencing, whatever she was dreaming or going through, it seems to subside. And then you hear a thump over from Scully's side of the hall, right? And there's a strange groan that comes out of him. And it has this undercurrent of something that is not him.
Ooh.
It's almost like he has two voices and one is a little lower than the other.
You know, I think we might want to check on him as well. But this time we'll make sure the axe is handy.
So you wander over with your axe out. I guess it's that sort of frog perspective camera from Army of Darkness where he's sort of very near the camera and it's like groaning and he's pretty still.
What's the matter, old man?
He's almost face down, so you'll have to like turn him over if you want to do anything.
Yeah, well, I read that story.
You can kick his boot. I don't know. It's you're free to do what you want.
You know what? The boot kicking actually sounds a lot safer. So we'll give the boot just more of a nudge kick than like I'm going to break your toes kind of kick. You're a little too restless.
This is so weird. I don't know what to say.
His bedside manner is not something he practices.
Indeed. You can hear this long snore from over where Stonebones has fallen asleep at his makeshift desk.
Thank you for the help. We'll talk to everybody.
There's a kind of spasm in Scully. And you remember he's still sort of he's not quite as bandaged up as he used to be, but he's still, I mean, his entire head is covered and his arms and hands. And like I said, he sort of starts to spasm. It subsides and then he spasms again. And again, there's that sort of toothsome voice quality to his grunts.
Well, I guess we'll set down our axe and we'll hold down his arms so he doesn't flail about and rip his bandages off or anything like that. Scully, what's the matter with you?
Ooh, appropriate picture. Thank you, John. All right.
Thanks.
For those of us who don't have the chat readily available, Scully spasms once in your sort of grasp when you're holding onto him, and then you know his eyes shoot open and his mouth falls open, and it's that scene from Fellowship of the Ring when in Rivendell when Bilbo is about to take the ring from Frodo and he has that moment where he's turning into Sméagol. He screams. And it's this scream that is not his at all. Yeah, it's this peculiar, weird, reverberating, eldritch scream. And there's just this intense glare of hatred that just transcends flesh. It's you know, you realize immediately that, that you're dealing with something that you haven't ever dealt. Well, maybe, but not in this way. And it's
sudden. Be damned.
It's like like that. So, give me a steel test, Flint.
Great. Well, I hope I pass this.
What's your hesitation?
Six.
Six. Okay.
And steel is B5. Okay. So I have to obstacle six versus B5. Yes.
Yes. Unless you want to spend Arta, or you know, that's a few.
Though
I will say, steel is open-ended by default. So any sixes you roll, you immediately roll them again.
We'll throw in a couple. Kids, my luck has to turn at some point, right?
Okay. Remember to record them. You're spending per so. You're spending. It was 5 against 6, so it's actually a challenging test.
And if I spend 2 persona, that does not change that?
It doesn't make any difference. That's the beauty of persona. So you can succeed at a like challenging test.
But I don't want a challenging one. I want a difficult one. I've got my axe handy.
All right, I'll give you a bonus die for being prepared. How's that? Then you can get your damn difficult test.
Well, for some of us, it's a big deal. And then on top of it, you know, if things go wrong, maybe I'll just decapitate the poor man.
Well, I mean, I did give you some hints at what was going on. So, you know, it's not like I'm just giving it to you for advancement purposes.
We steeled ourselves for the steel.
Yes.
Okay.
Now so 7 against 6.
Well, I'm going to spend 2 personas, so let's go 8.
Oh, okay.
8 versus 6, because I need all the help I can get. 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 6.
Yeah.
So
reroll 6.
Yeah, we know how this goes. And that failed. Can I do anything for traitors?
You can spend, since this is open-ended, you can spend 1 fate to reroll 1 traitor.
Just 1?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to re-roll that 1. I know that doesn't work for digital dice, but damn it, I am. And ooh, that's a 6.
Roll again.
50-50 shot here.
Oh!
Mr. missed it by that much, strikes again.
That's just what I was going to say.
Jeez Louise. The dice roller is just mocking me now.
But this is good, because now you're only hesitating for 1 action.
Okay.
It's not like you're spending the next minute drooling or cowering or anything. How do you respond? Are you paralyzed with surprise, shock, and fear, or do you fall to your knees and beg for mercy? Swoon?
Can I hold on to him with a death grip and scream back at him?
I guess that would be stand and drool. Though run screaming would be fun.
No. I don't want to leave Bruna and the doctor. I come back with a bunch of dead bodies.
I get it.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so our stand and drool would be to stand there and scream back at him. Ah!
Is there anything you would like to write in your beliefs at this moment that might be more important than perhaps broker peace with the spiders?
Protect Bruna and Stone Bones.
Sounds good to me. In that moment when you're like, screaming, all around you, these eldritch flames leap up from the cots, from between the gaps in the... actually, there are almost no gaps in the floor. It's almost like someone took... Well, there are. Okay, there are. It's big enough for that. But these are like huge slabs of stone that they've just sunken down for flooring. Flames leap up, flames tall like humans. Things start to take on fire and you know, chaos reigns. Oh, do I want to cut it there? That's so mean.
Well, that would be a dramatic place to cut it, unless we can resolve it in 5-10 minutes.
How do you guys feel? Do we want to keep going with Flint for like 5 minutes, or do we want to return to the dwarves burning webbing for a little bit?
Let's go with the spiders. I like the cliffhanger.
All right, cool. So the Dwarven Company, you know, you make it into the breweries proper. There are spiders crawling everywhere. It's like this cross-hatching of web tunnels. And there's webbing that seems to be very old and stiff and webbing that is new and like soft and cushiony. And, you know, the spiders are everywhere and you're spraying the whole place down in controlled burst, granted.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm pretty much writing up anything made of wood in here because it's going to go.
And you can
go anyway.
You can see ahead of you, in between, like, well, you're in sort of this courtyard between the main brewing buildings, right? Though some are fair enough, fairly open, so you can you see.
Aye, there goes the granary.
Stick the nozzle in there and fire.
Of course, there's a scene where you like roll the wagon up to one of the outbuildings and just pull the lever or whatever you do, and it's like, and there are spider screams inside. Ahead of you, in the half light, among the glitter of the webs, you can see a much bigger shape sort of beginning to disentangle itself from like the inner reaches of
Mommy. Yeah.
Pretty much. The spiders are pretty much possessed. They are not stopping. You burn a good number of them. You savage the webs, but they're not letting up. Since you're in here, I would like you to, two of you, Fandral and Ulfhill, to make steel tests.
Okay. Steel 7, hesitation of 5.
Your hesitation is pretty low, right, Fandral?
Yeah. Theoretically, I should make it.
But I would make use of the cheaty fact that I can spend a fate point and reroll one of those traitors. Yeah. So it'd be 1d6.
Try it.
Aha! I made it. I rolled exactly the number I needed.
Oh, but you're rolling steel, right, Ulfkill?
Yes.
So you don't... Oh, okay, to reroll a traitor. I see.
Yep.
And Fandral's...
Fate point to reroll a traitor. And no.
Oh! Cruel world. But it's only... How many six? You got the...
One round or one action.
Oh, okay. And Ulfkill got how many successes?
Exactly my hesitation. So
all right. So you're not actually hesitating. So when you begin to enter the inside of this courtyard and you come into the just this cocoon, for lack of a better term, of webbing, right? You notice a particular gleam in certain portions, and it's like these webs are spun in particular patterns. And Ulfkill, you feel a dread coming over you, like goosebumps, but it doesn't stop you. You're probably too full of trying to make sure the war machine doesn't go anywhere stupid or you know, burn one of the humans who are rushing ahead of you. So it doesn't stop you. And Fandral, for like one moment, I guess you get to pick what you want to do for your hesitation action. You want to just stand and rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So for a moment, you notice this spiral pattern in the webbing ahead of you, and the same sort of emotion comes over you inexplicably. It's like magic.
Before it all burns away.
Yes, before. Oh, maybe that's it. You're like, for a moment, you're just staring at it, and then the flames leap higher, crawl up the web, and it's just disintegrated.
I mean, if I notice it, I point at it and, you know, give it a burst.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Release the Kraken!
All around, the dwarves are shying away. For a moment, you know, they probably have three actions of standing and drooling or drawing back. A few of the humans are like falling to their knees and they're muttering prayers fearfully, and some of them are running away.
Use my command to whip everybody into shape here.
Absolutely.
What's my obstacle?
I should check that so I don't do something stupid here, because margin of success. Okay, so the dwarves are hesitating for three actions. The humans are hesitating for four. You'll make one test and we'll compare it to the individual obstacles. See how much you take away from them. And since it's several elements to this test, we'll count the highest for advancement purposes.
Too bad I don't have command as a full skill, because I'd try to help. Can I help just by sitting far to things?
No.
Okay.
If you had command, yes, you could help.
The people's innate fear of fire does not motivate them.
Roar is standing next to the prince, completely paralyzed. Like, his lower lip is just going up and down.
We'll throw another persona here. Oh, one. No. So, I'm no help.
They can't hear you over the roaring of the flames.
Yeah.
Well, you can always blame spider magic. That's cheating. This is a fight, and you always talk in fights. So what's Fandral roaring out to, like, get them back into shape? That isn't working.
It's just a bunch of bards. Squash them, you stupid. Stop gopping and start squashing.
Maybe you slap Roar in the poses. And he's just, like, standing there like a statue, like, All right, so... While this is going on and you're tempting to get the company to stop being such wusses. The Great Shape, which is about the shape of, it's like a buggy, right? A Volkswagen buggy, or is that what you call it?
Beetle, that's what you call it.
There you go. Beetle. It's like a Volkswagen Beetle, right? In that, roughly that size, right?
That's hardly big at all.
Well, I'm assuming that's only the body. The legs are probably much.
Yeah. But its legs are not super long. It seems more like it's more heavy body and less legging. This shape is like it's gray. It's very hairy. Its eyes have this ruby glitter to it. The closer it gets to you, the more you hear this. First, it begins almost like listening to the surf at a beach rolling in over your senses. And then you sort of begin to hear whispers, which become words, which become this hissing.
Tasty dwarves.
No. The words become stop burning, no more fire, no more fighting. That's what's coming through.
And unfortunately, you have a scared oaf kill who aims right at her.
Do you pull the lever?
Yeah, I'm going to fire her up.
Just fired up so it's ready, or do you actually fire?
Yes, in both terms, both versions of the phrase. I'm firing her up.
Okay. So I guess
I'm lighting her up.
So I guess we're closing the episode on you, like releasing the fire, and it's belting out toward her, and then, you know, black screen. Oh. And everyone watching is like, oh!
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Cliffhanger episode. I like that.
Well, now we have action to just leap into next time.
Yep.
And maybe we can refine beliefs. I mean, Flint has
fire everywhere.
Will Flint keep on screaming?
And maybe Fandral now has more of a like something you can write about. Maybe taking down the big spider or something. I don't know. Whatever you feel is
appropriate. I should put notes down that, you know, everyone's hesitating too, because, you know, the only persons who can can act is Fandral and Oofkill.
The belief I want to see is maybe Flynn's not crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I told you he was possessed. I told you no one believed me.
Of course they didn't.
Scully or Flint?
I think he means Scully, but, you know. There are more connotations of possessed, I guess.
As Flint's player, I am like chewing on my fingernails, going like, "What in the blue blazes can I do about this?"
Oh, excellent!
It's not his forte.
I'm trying to remember what color was the fire again. Was it green or was it blue? I can't remember the color of the fire. I think it was green, wasn't it?
I think it was greenish. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's green fire.
Well, I know what doesn't work: throwing iron hoops at it.
Or maybe I said they were red. Like crimson.
There was regular fire because things catching in fire and burning, but there also was the Eldritch fire, which was a different color.
I'm sure if this were a television show, the like continuity geeks would sit there and go, "Well, that's the wrong color fire."
We just call it Eldritch fire and let you imagine what color it is.
That is an excellent suggestion. Okay, let's do art up. So Flint has his belief for next time written out, pretty much.
Yeah,
protecting the other dwarves. You didn't get a chance really to
Oh, come on. I screamed. That should wake them up, right? Right?
Yeah. at least one or two of them. Mind you, there's fire everywhere now, so you may have to abandon Scully for in favor of saving someone else. We'll see. Yeah. Okay, so you wanted to...
I have a couple of options, and decapitation is one of them.
I'd say you get a persona for finding a path to Hidden Valley, the hidden place, the hidden retreat. It's a path, not necessarily a safe path, but we'll see. You don't really have any leads on the family crest, and there was no brokering peace with spiders, and you changed that belief. Cool. Yeah. So one persona for Flint. Let's go to Fandral. Well, I mean, you're in the process of getting rid of the spiders, so that's a fate. I'm not quite sure how to formulate the like reward for the second one. I don't think it came up much because we were sort of playing out the consequences of last session's maneuvering by Fandral to get Flint out of the way.
No, killing all the spiders is a step towards making sure he doesn't eat by them.
Fair enough. I'll give you a fate.
A spider problem resolved.
And for Ulfkell, you are certainly getting a fate for working towards dealing with a spider infestation.
The last one, Murtaugh and Athelbald, never really got in danger, so...
Well, they're in danger now.
They're in danger now, but nothing I can do about now.
But immediately when we open up in the next session, what you're doing is protecting them, right? That's the test you're going to make right away. So it's a good... I mean, if it's not fun and you prefer something else, then
No. Because they're probably just hanging on to the push poles, this like white knuckle going, ah!
Pump faster.
So the only person pumping on it is me. I'm busy up back there with the crank, you know, running the pistons. And this may be a case where I may end up spending a D to just take out something.
It's the second time you spend a D to take out a spider.
Spider burner of Scoria.
It just gets, the legend grows.
You just might have to switch over to Spider Bane.
Somewhere point, like, I'll probably be going, why does it always got to be spider?
When it comes to mermaids, in a way, I've touched all of mine. Oh. Always sleeps with his axe, never say no to a lady, never leave a task undone.
I'd say never say no to a lady certainly got you in trouble here.
Just a little.
Yeah.
I was expecting some completely different kind of trouble, but trouble is trouble. So can I change one of my beliefs that I believe my dice will fail me?
You have to have a goal, completable goal.
Hack
if you have a belief
website.
That like dice are inherently traitorous and I will never use them, then like that's
your meta beliefs do not transfer to Flint.
No.
Oh well. So since never say no reared its ugly head, is that like a fate or
that
how does
is
that
indeed
work?
A fate point.
Okie dokie.
Did anyone see any traits that got them into trouble that I missed?
Dwarven traits, chuffing, oddly likable, swaggering, dutiful, aggressive. I can play on that.
You haven't done that a lot, but yeah.
I try to be the nice guy, even if everyone remembers me as the axe man.
That's cool, because if you keep not playing it, it's going to go away the next time we vote.
None of mine came to play. None of my instincts came to play.
Well, they didn't get you into
trouble.
Do we feel like Flint is worthy of a mold breaker? Being torn between doing what he wanted for the spiders and finding stuff about Dooney's possible cohorts in Scoria and staying, protecting people? Did he play out the turmoil enough, do you feel?
Yeah, I think he did. How about you, Dirk?
It was certainly not something Flint really wanted to do, so...
True, true. All right, so let's give... Flint a persona for mold breaker. Let's give you all embodiment again, because stuff. All right, so workhorse people.
Kel is...
Yeah, fire burner of Marl.
Yeah, so I guess persona.
I think you are the one, besides Slate, who has the lowest amount of persona, generally speaking. Although the rest of you have been spending a lot lately, so I may be off on the count.
I am at 4, and I spent 5 this session.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, burn, burn, burn.
It is a wheel of burning, yes. MVP, anyone?
I am tempted to give it to the prince because he kept everyone together and the initial assault went very well.
Yeah, he had the skills necessary to keep us at least safe in the initial assault. Now, sadly, that didn't help in the secondary assault. When we breached, but, you know.
But that's another session. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll give it to our fearless general.
MVP persona for Fandral. And no deeds yet.
Working on it. It's a tricky thing. I should be more shallow.
What? That's not how you earn deeds? What do you mean?
Instead of having long-reaching goals like, I will be the prince of the underworld, you choose something like, I'll have breakfast.
Well, that's persona. I mean, deeds is like the bigger stuff when you affect the thing in huge ways.
Yes.
You're not going to affect the setting by having breakfast?
If you have a really good breakfast.
It's going above and beyond the call of duty.
Yeah.
Okay. Omelets. Not
like,
scrambled
like
eggs.
If you had succeeded in sneaking away, and if by some chance you had succeeded in forging an alliance between the dwarves and the spiders, that would have been a deed, right?
Yeah, I would.
And someone burned those chances to the ground.
Well, look at it this way. You are earning Fandral Arcta in the course of sort of, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a seesaw. Right. Fun stuff. Love the cliffhangers. And catch you all next week.
Have a good week. Thanks for today, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, I was listening to a few of the episodes this weekend, a few that I hadn't, like the latest batch, like the latest four or five I hadn't listened to. And I heard myself saying Aethelbert on more than one occasion. And I felt like I had gotten the name right all the time. So that was like embarrassing.
I worked out what all the failure points on the system, because I went looking at the Greek fire system. And then I read up, and some guys point out every failure point, you have to use leather seals around the pistons, and you soak them in oil, and that's a failure point. Naphtha has to be is solid until you heat it up. So I imagine where Wolfkill's using is similar. It has to be kept hot. Therefore, there's a fire underneath it. Another failure point. If the fire goes out, there's enough latent heat that it won't congeal, but it might get some solid chunks that would then block one of the pipes.
Then it turns from a flamethrower to a shotgun or improvised explosive device.
Or you suck vacuum and you can't get anything at all. You have to use leather flaps on the valves. You have leather flap valves on the pistons. When to let the stuff in, when to let the stuff out. And those are a point of failure. Since I use my black artificer on this, everything's welded, so the welds could be suspect. Then there's the chain drive to drive the mechanism, and that could fail. Of course, the pylite could go out. The swivel mount, the improvised swivel mount could seize up. And did I say I have to keep the stuff at boiling point temperatures inside there?
Is the thing capable of like a backdraft?
I think Ufko's smart enough to put a pressure valve on so that pressure relief valve, so if it gets too hot, it'll then blow off excess vapors. But I'm not sure if he's smart enough to make them so they blow off to the rear of the mechanism or to the front where the fire is.
He did imagine test. Just say
I did do.
I'm, yeah. That's where the nostrils are for.
So no complaints and other feedback. SunnySkypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, SunnySkypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.